Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Angels are organized in ranks like an army. Angels know their roles and responsibilities, including communicating with humanity when God directs them to. Today on Running to Win, we'll learn more about these powerful heavenly beings who worship God without ceasing. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer continues a three-part series on the angels of Christmas. Now, more about the angels of Bethlehem.
So they saw the splendor and the wonder of Jesus. Then they saw man's humiliation, his fall into sinfulness, and being in league with Satan in rebellion. They saw the depths of man's sin and helplessness. And then for God to become a baby, for him to assume human flesh, and then of all things to be born in an inn and laid in a manger, for that to happen, this must have just made the angels filled with awe. And so the lead angel, an angel of the Lord, came. Now, we don't know who that angel was. Maybe it was the angel Gabriel, the same one who had given the message to Mary. But an angel came, and he indeed was the bearer of good news. And immediately with him, the scripture says, the glory of the Lord shone around them. This is the Shekinah glory. That glory left Israel centuries earlier. You can read about it in the book of Ezekiel, where the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, left the temple area, went over the Mount of Olives, and then disappeared as a judgment because God says, I'm leaving you because of your sin and your idolatry. Now that same glory appears on the outskirts of Bethlehem. The glory of the Lord comes, and then the whole host participate, and they sing and they chime in. Someone has said, there is no place where earth's joys and sorrows are more felt than in heaven. And notice the specificity of the message. Born unto you this day in the city of David. Bethlehem was considered the city of David because David grew up close to Bethlehem. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. That's strips of cloth that are wrapped tightly around a baby to restrict movement and to give the child, the infant, a sense of security. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. That's how you will identify this child, so that the shepherds could not mistake who it was that they went to see. And so the message comes to them. It is Spurgeon who says, all the attributes of God were in that little child, most marvelously displayed and veiled. Conceive the whole sun to be focused to a single point, and yet so softly revealed as to be durable by the most tender eye. Even thus the glorious God is brought down for man to see him born of a woman. So the angel knew where Jesus was born. They knew the city. They knew the manger. They knew how he was dressed. And they said, that's where you can now go. The angels, remember, accepted and gave the message that they'd been given. And then let's notice also, they glorified the God that they loved. You'll notice that when the multitude of the heavenly host comes, they praise God and say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest heaven of heavens. God is to be admired and he is to be glorified. God is glorified in every single drop of water. You look at that water and you know that it was put together by a creator. And he's magnified in every single flower. But someone has said, but sing, O universe, until you have exhausted thyself, thou canst not make a song as sweet as the song of the incarnation. And most assuredly, there is no song that is sweeter than the good news that Jesus was born. And so they bring glory to God. And then you'll notice they add this, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Many of us who grew up with the King James Version of the Bible know that in the King James it says peace among men. That isn't exactly accurate. The other translations translate it the way in which I think Luke intended it to be understood. Because it is not true that Jesus came to bring a universal peace, at least not now. There are some people who are not better off because Christ came. Simeon said, this child is set for the rise and the fall of many in Israel. And that there are some people who are going to stumble over Jesus. Judas is far worse off because Christ came than he would have been if Christ had not come. And so it is not true that Jesus just brought universal peace. I happened to turn on the news as I was coming to the church this morning, the 7 o'clock news. I was listening in the car. Another suicide bomber in Iraq killing 13 people, many of them women and children. There's no peace in Iraq today. And there's no peace in Israel today. And there's no peace in Yemen and some of the other countries. There was no peace in Angola today, or Osiri, the refugee camp. There is no peace in this world universally. Now, eventually, Jesus will bring peace to all men. Then it will be true that he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the wonder of his righteousness. But that verse, that stanza of joy to the world, is not fulfilled in this era. But it is true that there is peace for those with whom he is pleased or with those upon whom his favor rests. You say, well, I would like to be among those who have the favor of God. That can be true if you come through Jesus Christ and you believe on him whom he has sent. That's the way we receive God's favor. It is not something that we deserve. It is always a gift, just like a garden and the vegetables in a garden. They may not deserve the rain. They cannot create the rain, but all that they can do is to enjoy the rain that comes. In the very same way, we can't create it, we don't deserve it, but we make ourselves available to be people upon whom God's favor rests. Now, when the angels are finished their song, what do the shepherds do? Verse 16, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The angels give glory to God, and now the shepherds are giving glory to God. Let me help us understand and to apply this. When we think of angels, because this will be the last message I'm preaching on this topic on this very, very brief series, first of all, keep in mind that angels exist for God. God does not exist for angels. Angels exist for God. Angels never say to themselves, I wonder what I want to do today, and now that I've made up my mind, I'm going to pray and ask God to bless me while I do what I want to do. No, angels, who don't have to wake up in the morning, by the way, because they're never tired, ceaseless energy. Angels never think in those terms. The good angels have only one question to ask, and that is, what does God want me to do? They have one responsibility, to find out what the Almighty asks of them and then to do it, because they do not exist for themselves. They exist for the God who created them, who sends them, and who uses them according to His will. I would say that most of the problems that we face in the Christian life are problems that we get into because we think that God exists for us. So we decide what we want to do, and then we pray that God will bless these pre-made plans instead of laying it all out in God's presence and asking one question, Lord, what will you have me to do? I think that you and I need what could be called a Copernican revolution. Remember Copernicus? In those days, centuries ago, it was always believed, rather reasonably so, it appeared reasonable, that the sun revolved around the earth. The earth was stationary and the sun revolved around it. And that's what we're thinking, isn't it? I'm here, God, you're here to bless my plans. When we have to understand that it is not the sun that revolves around the earth revolves around the sun. The sun, the S-O-N, he is the one that is the focus, and we have one question that we ought to ask him every single day, and that is this, Lord, show me the orbit. Show me the orbit, because I exist for you. Imagine the freedom that would come. Imagine the lack of jealousy. Imagine the sense of contentment that there would be, even in the midst of difficulties, if you knew that you existed only for the will of God and you were doing God's will. There is nothing else that would be more important to you than saying, God, you led me, you cared for me, I lay it all before you because you exist and I exist that I might glorify you. All right, my friend, let us be perfectly clear. There's only one way to live that way, and that is if you begin every single day with God, focused on Scripture, focused on a devotional that will help you as you navigate life with all of its challenges, with all of its difficulties. That's why we're making available for you a devotional entitled Running to Win. It's authored by Dwight L. Moody and myself. For a gift of any amount, we're making it available for you. Now, throughout the years, people have often asked whether or not I've written a devotional. Well, the answer now is yes. And if you want to have it before Christmas, this would be a wonderful time for you to connect with us. You've heard me say it before, but we exist to help you run the race of life successfully, and there's no way you can do that unless you begin the day with God.
Erwin Lutzer with more of his series on the Angels of Christmas. Next time, a final look at angels, why they exist, and in what they rejoice. Plan to join us. We'd like you to have a brand new daily devotional in time for the new year. It's called simply Running to Win. It's yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.